I love my freedom.
Imagine working for yourself while also feeling full of passion.
Every single morning I wake up and I think about how can I bring more purpose to my life and to help others.
You'll hear from Zenaida Mann, founder of the Black Women's Business Collective, on how she left her steady full-time teaching job to work for herself and help others. Plus, leadership expert Heather Chauvin joins us to help you figure out how to find your passion and how to make that passion more central to your professional life.
10 minutes a day can literally change your life in a month if you're willing to ask yourself those uncomfortable questions.
Leave your lanyard and swipe card at the door. Welcome to Mom's Exit Interview, a podcast for moms seeking fulfillment and contentment outside the traditional 9-to-5. Whether you're considering taking the leap or you're already mid-air, this podcast is for you. You'll meet moms who are consultants, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms with side hustles, and part-time workers across various industries and levels. Plus, every episode will have experts with tips so you can turn your inspiration into action. I'm Kim Ritberg. I was a Netflix executive and former head of video at Us Weekly. And I'm a mom of two. I quit the corporate world and I've never looked back. But I'm still on this journey, so join me. We don't need a boss to give us permission or a promotion to lead the lives we want. I'm going to kindly ask you to please follow the show and leave a 5-star rating. It really does help. Now, there is a lot to dig in today with Zenaida Mann. She has been named Entrepreneur Magazine's Top 100 Women of Impact, driving real change in business and culture for founding an amazing nonprofit called the Black Women's Business Collective. Zenaida has 3 kids, ages 22, 16, and 8. And she has so many interesting aspects to her story. She has an aha moment where she knew she had to leave her job, a somewhat winding path to her current career situation as a digital marketer, plus her incredible nonprofit. And then after Zenaida, we'll hear from cancer survivor and coach Heather Chauvin on how to find your passion and direct your life toward that.
Hi, my name is Zenaida Mann, and I am a digital marketing consultant with Zenaida Digital for over 15 years. And I'm also the founder of the Black Women's Business Collective, which is a resource network for Black and Afro-Latino women to give them tips and tricks on how to survive the business world. As a Black woman business owner, I knew the ups and downs, and you probably heard the ups and downs of my career or financial trajectory of attempting to reach an economic status in my life to be able to take care of my family and future generations. And because of that, I knew that I can't be the only one who looks like me that suffers from this. And I said, you know, I'm just going to go and survey the community of Black women and just see what happens. And that excitedly turned into what I call BWBC, or the Black Women's Business Collective, which is just at this point a database of over 3,000 women at this point, Black women and Afro-Latino women who have entered their business just to, you know, to get some type of recognition and to be in a community. But really what it has turned into for year two for me is a way to connect and engage with this community, listen to them. If you don't know already, there is a huge funding gap between people of color, Black women, and investing and banking and all of that. So trying to really solve that.
I have two follow-up questions. First of all, that's so amazing to be able to look at something, look at your own struggle and not just say, oh, that was hard, but say, okay, how can I make it better and easier for other people? Like, what an awesome thing. How is it going? So now it's been probably what, you're in year two or year three of the Black Women's Business Collective.
If the purpose is to build this social capital of engaged Black and Afro-Latino women, it's working. Every single morning I wake up and I think about how can I bring more purpose to my life and to help others? And I think a lot of it has something to do with my upbringing and seeing a lot of the challenges that people that look like me face. And I just want to do more. The bigger goal is, how do we get these businesses funded? How do we make them feel like they belong in their jobs? If they choose to be a sidepreneur plus have a 9-to-5, how do we solve that? And my vision is, hey, Chrysler, you said that you support the Black community. Well, I'm bringing BWBC to you, and I want you to put your money where your mouth is. And you can pay for all that we are bringing. We're bringing social capital. We're bringing programs. I've created dozens of programs. I need you to sponsor and partner with me.
So the next step is looking for companies to sponsor the Black Women's Business Collective. Don't they say it out loud and put it on your vision board or whatever? I'm saying it out loud.
Oh, yes. So I love that. And you just summarized my entire 15-minute spiel in 4 words. Like,
this is very funny. So I do content strategy and I do on-camera media coaching, and that involves elevator pitches. So sometimes I feel like I'm stealing words from someone, and I'm not. I'm more just, I think in sound bites because I worked in news for 10 years. So someone will tell me this like incredible 7-minute story that's actually amazing. And I'm like, oh, so you're looking for sponsors for your Black Women's Business Collective? Amazing. Let's put that on our podcast and see if the money flows in.
You need to write that down.
So Zenanda, you have a very interesting path. It's not exactly A to B. Can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Okay. Yes. So I was a teenage mother. I had my oldest daughter at 16. And at the time, I decided that I needed to go to school and figure out how I'm going to take care of this kid. So I got an accounting degree. It was fun and it provided the necessary income. But then I wasn't too happy about it. It was boring for my personality and just, you know, wasn't very people focused career.
So then Zenaida went back to school for poli-sci. She considered going to law school, but didn't want to take out hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans. And then she got her master's in education.
So between my political science degree and my education, my master's of education, I started my own business, a digital marketing company called Zenaida Digital, that married the two of educating and strategy and people into one platform. I absolutely fell in love with it. But it wasn't making the money that I needed it to make to support my children and all of my bills. So I did teach for about 5 years. Absolutely love that too, this whole idea of teaching others. I hit a wall where it was just like, hey, this is not going to work for me. I thought I was going to go in there and change everything. And that didn't necessarily happen at a rate that I was happy with. So I did leave. And I decided to really just go all in with this digital marketing business because it brings me freedom. I'm just like really ecstatic that I am controlling my professional future right now. And my personal life has increased dramatically because I control my time.
I asked Zenaida what led her to leave her teaching job.
It pushed me to the point where I left. I didn't necessarily feel comfortable in my classroom at times. And no matter how much I said to the leadership, they didn't listen to me. And to not say anything super negative about the system itself, because there are some great schools and people, and I still work with many of them. But that one situation that I had was too much for me. I'm a softie in a way. I can deal with certain things, but when it came to, you know, just seeing people who look like me, the kids who look like me, and a lot of times they would get in trouble or someone got hit by something, and it was hurting me. It really was. And who likes violence? But I just didn't like any of that. So I would just come home crying like, oh man, I can't. Every day I'm seeing like, this is madness. And so that was basically it.
And you're seeing this and you also feel like you can't help. You're seeing these kids who don't have what they need and you don't feel like you can help them in the way that you would like to.
Yeah, in a way that I thought, you know, my way I thought of helping them, you know, if you see an eighth grader who can't read even at a kindergarten level, my thing is pushing more things like testing on them is not going to help, right? There's some deep issue, like there's something going on. If it's not something psychological going on and it's a behavioral issue, like we need to focus on the whole child and not keep on tearing them down by this test that we know they can't pass. My trouble across the board was the administration at the school-based levels in multiple schools that I've seen. That's just like, wow, did they give up too? I can't work and see this every day. And when I try to do something, it's a pushback. It's a, you know, that's how it's going to be. And there's a lot of issues going on in certain communities with public education. There's just so much going on. And I don't know the answer but something has to be done in public education, you know, so.
A lot of people, rightfully so, are afraid to launch their own business or switch from full-time to freelance because of the fear on how that will impact their income. So I asked Zaneta about that. Can I get nitty-gritty about your digital marketing business?
I love nitty-gritty.
Are you creating income. An income that you're happy with that you know is similar to or more than or less than the past?
So I will say I am not at zero, which is very exciting. At this point, I'm not at zero, but I am not at a financial place where I want to be. For this year, I am very excited about sourcing new clients, and it is a full-time job. I think it's even more than a full-time job because I work after hours. I burn the midnight oil. I have a lofty goal to get 6 new clients, which for many may not be a lot, but for what I charge and for what it is and what they get, the value that they get and the impact I bring, 6 clients would bring me to a place where I would definitely be over the top, which is what I want.
Part of these decisions depend on family situations and structure and support. And of course, we have the unpaid domestic labor of taking care of kids. How was that and how is that now for you?
So I was a single mom until about, I guess you can say, 10 years ago, sharing part of this unpaid labor, right? That part is a stressor in my personal life because there is no there is not a healthy balance. Financially, yes, right? That's not the challenge. I don't get paid for taking care of my kids. Like, this is, you know, unpaid labor. The share of things is still very uneven in my household, mainly because my husband's out the house. He's in the military, so he has his things going on. And when he comes home, it's like, take out the garbage, maybe walk the dog. But all of the stuff in between I'm still, you know, doing. But thankfully, my kids are a little bit older. They help out a lot. When they were much younger as a single mom, it was really, really difficult to do all of that alone. But at this point, you know, we're not at 50-50, but maybe 70-30. And I'll take that for now.
What are how did you prepare financially to make the change?
I document everything as far as my processes with what I do at work, what I do with money. So super, super planned out in that way that I kind of just projected that with my current clientele and with, you know, the money that I had coming in. I still had a few checks coming after I decided to leave. It was, hey, you know, telling my husband, hey, I can't do this anymore. I was coming home crying. That's how it got to that point where I was so shaken by even getting up and going to work that it was bad for my health. So I said, you know what, Rakim, I think it's time for me to go. So my husband naturally is in the military. He loves his, you know, 9-to-5 and his really rigid life. So for me to say I'm going to follow my passions and be happy and joyful and see my kids was, you know, a total disaster for him financially in his mind. I did not have the recommended 6 months in advance, you know, to cover expenses. And I didn't. The bills are okay. You know, as I said, my husband's really good. We had savings.
What would you tell yourself in your 20s? What would you tell your 20-something self?
Calm down, you know, like everything is going to work itself out. Like it will, you know, as long as you wake up, you're breathing. It just really calm down and you don't need to chase. And that leads into the whole slowing down thing. I never felt comfortable enough to slow down. If I told my 20-year-old self that, hey, it really all doesn't matter because you're doing your best. You're doing the best that you can. And no matter how much you think you're moving faster, you're actually slowing down somewhere, some area in your life. And you just need to accept it. Like, this is just life. And just do what you can.
Yeah, a friend of mine who is a therapist, we were much younger and I was just kind of treading water, going in, doing my job and leaving. And I said, you know, I don't really feel like I'm doing that. She said, at that point, I was building my relationship with my husband. She's like, not every year is a point of growth for everything in your life. Some years you're growing your relationship and some years you're supercharging your business or other things or your health. I was like, I had never thought of it like that because I feel like I used to feel like I had to 100 miles per hour on everything in my life at all times. And I don't know. For me, I think that I've just been able to have a little more balance at this stage of my life. But I, too, My default is not relax. My default is go.
Right.
I had a question.
Brilliant, at what actually, point, what your therapist friend said. That's really brilliant.
Can you fill in the sentence? Before my life was blank and now my life is blank.
Yeah. Before my life felt empty and now I feel filled.
You can find the Black Women's Business Collective at allinmybusiness.com and find Zenaida Mann on Instagram/Zenaida. As usual, all linkouts will be in the show notes. I loved hearing Zenaida's passion and seeing what she's building. It led me to think, what are you meant to be doing? How can you find your passion? What lights you up? Next, Heather Chauvin has tips on how to find your passion and direct your life towards that. Heather Chauvin was diagnosed with cancer at age 27 after having her three sons. Heather realized she had spent too much of her life trying to be a quote-unquote good mom, and she started making shifts in her life. Heather was a social worker, and now she's a leadership coach and is here to help you unlock your passion.
Hey, I'm Heather Chauvin. I'm the author of Dying to Be a Good Mother and podcast host of Emotionally Uncomfortable. And I support women in helping them develop the habit of feeling alive.
Heather had a really interesting way of identifying your true desires or passion to help guide you.
I talk a lot about desire. And one of my favorite things that I talk about is this journal prompt that I do for myself, and it says, wouldn't it be nice if? I do it a lot. I've been using this for years because I truly believe it's not about what's your goals? What's your, you know, next year goals? What's your word of the year? It's like, wouldn't it be nice if? And whatever you say after that, I believe is your inner desire. And when you are listening to your inner desire, that's where you, like, you come alive. You're like, yes, I'm aligned. I feel it's clicking. And I believe that some of us, like I remember before my friend used to be like, oh my gosh, you drive me nuts. Cause I always had that like go, go, go mentality, but I had to learn to hold boundaries and I had to learn to follow how I wanted to feel first, because then I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And it's, this is so weird, Kim, you're maybe like, wow, you're next level. I see humans as breeds of like I love dogs. So you think of like this lazy dog, and then you think of like a really active, hyper dog. I see humans like that too.
I want to say I'm a spaniel. I want to just go out there and say
okay.
It. I'll be nipping at your heels until I get what I want. I'm super friendly, but I will walk with you the whole way.
That's hilarious. People tell me I'm like a pit bull, but then, but like, I'm like, I can see through your BS so clearly, and I will lovingly call you out on it. But at the same, I can like push you, I can lean off, but yeah, I will just like lovingly say one thing and you're like, damn it, she can see me. She can see me. but yeah, I think that's like, our personalities are like that too. And when we really honor what we want and desire and we go after it, this is just, it's magic. It's literal magic. You come to life, you have more energy, and you can get more done.
So we're doing a survey for the podcast where people send in questions, and I'd love if you could answer some of them. A few of the questions were around like finding how to shift, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a this, like I'm a psychotherapist. Like what can I do besides work for my company? Or I'm an educator, like where else to go? I think there are a lot of moms trying to figure out, like you have, like what else is out there for me with my skill set?
Yeah. I think oftentimes what people do is they're looking for the thing. Like they're looking for the perfect job description or like the perfect business in a box or like how to start that side hustle or whatever it is. And what I always say to people is talk to those that you're interested in helping. Like see a problem and talk to those people and then learn how to sell. Sales skills, women don't like them. Or there's like a lot of negativity around it. It's love. It's service. You are being of service to somebody. And by hiding or letting your fear like hold you back, all you're doing is not allowing that other person to grow and transform in front of you. If you know that you have something inside of you that can make a big impact in the world, all you have to do is talk to one person and charge them $1, charge them $100 if you're absolutely terrifying, or not terrifying, terrified. I often see when people go through like an employee mindset, even if they make seven figures, once you start selling yourself, it's a completely different ball game. And it's really just about who can I help out there? Have that conversation with them and say, I can help you. And it's really, really important that you start charging for it, because I'm also a big fan of equal exchange of energy. And so if somebody else is not energetically committed, they're not going to do the work. So once you start, you know, having those conversations, get one person to say yes, then you start to get like this emotional buy-in for yourself. And you're like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? But yeah, it's like the world needs you. You just have to show up.
I love your take on the applying what you feel is going to help someone else, because I do a lot of media training in my work, and people really have a lot of struggles with pitching, selling. And I try to reframe it to them as, well, in theory, in practice, you're an expert in this and you're helping someone, right? If you're a lawyer, you're helping them through a contract dispute, a divorce, a custody, whatever it is, no matter your industry. So if you adjust your mindset and go with that service attitude, I like how you framed it as like love and service, I think it's easier to work from a place that's more naturally comfortable as humans. I'm an extrovert, hands down an extrovert. I was always a good salesperson. I had my own jewelry company. I was good at selling my own jewelry because I was really passionate about it.
Yeah.
Doing sales for a company would have given me the creeps, and it doesn't feel natural to me. So I think your advice of really thinking how you can help someone else is just, I think that really speaks to people's interior motives and the discomfort they feel when they feel they're pushing, you know, mm-hmm. and unlocking that you're not pushing. It's a partnership. What are your tips for someone who's looking to figure out what is my passion?
I think everyone knows what lights them up. They just don't all give themselves permission to go for it. It's one thing to say, I don't know what I'm passionate about. But if you said, is it that I don't know what I'm passionate about, or that I haven't actually given myself permission to cultivate that passion or energy? I also find that passion, call it passion, call it purpose, call it desire, whatever you want, creativity, it's messy. It is messy. And when you are the type A box checker, planner, perfectionist, like that part of you that you cannot put words to or box check, and it's a feeling, it's a whole other skill set. And so I always just say, really give yourself permission to ask yourself, what excites me? Like, what excites me? And if you feel so far removed from that, then put 10 minutes a day on your calendar to go for a walk and leave your phone at home and just explore your mind and just what excites me. It almost becomes like a walking meditation. Like, what excites me? What is it? Try to think of who you were when you were younger. What lit you up? When did you get most excited? And then again, I call those breadcrumbs. So I'm always like, follow those tiny breadcrumbs. But 10 minutes a day can like literally change your life in a month if you're willing to ask yourself those uncomfortable questions.
So tell me a little bit about your company and what you do.
I talk to women a lot about like habit development and developing the habit of feeling alive and aligned. And so it's really about reverse engineering how you want to feel. Like bringing essence and life back into yourself. So you have the goals. I truly believe that we all know what we want. We either want to improve our relationship with our partner, our children, ourselves, somebody else. But that dis-ease or that contrast that we're experiencing in our life, or like the lack mindset that we have, or we're like, I want to grow my business, or whatever that is, I want to take that leap. It's about how do we develop those courage muscles to feel really, really aligned and go after what we want. So it's all about emotional intelligence, learning how to master those skills while you're going after what you want. You know, having a therapy background, I'm a huge fan of talk therapy, and I'm a huge fan of like rehashing what's happened in the past. But I truly believe that if you give yourself permission to focus on what you want, get the clarity on that, and go for it, everything that's stopping you is going to pop up for you. You figure out how to clear it along the way.
Heather's information will be in the show notes, and we'll do a deep dive on her inspirational and fascinating personal story in an upcoming episode. I like to end the show on something fun, so here is a very embarrassing parenting story from Ashley Heron-Smith of the Momtourage podcast, which is absolutely hilarious.
Mine is definitely the amount of times we've been recording specifically with a guest where my son decides it's the perfect time to take a and screams, "Mama!" It's happened so many times. "Mama, I need you to wipe my butt." And I'm just like, dude, I am in an interview. And I literally have to talk to whoever we're interviewing and say, "I'm so sorry. My kid just pooped and I need to wipe his butt." And there have been times where I've had to take the computer with me and like wipe his butt. What? Like, it's, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, crap. Literally. That was Ashley from the Momtourage podcast. And you can listen to Momtourage wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for being here. Please follow the show in Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And share it with any other parents who will find it valuable because it's truly meant to be a resource. I also love getting feedback on what resonated with you, so you can find us everywhere. Email me through momsexitinterview.com. You could drop me a DM on Instagram at Kim Ritberg. I am really friendly. Or you can leave a comment in the podcast app. We love to hear from you. Give us guest ideas, topics you want us to cover, your favorite tip that you heard, anything. Mom's Exit Interview is produced by Henry Street Media. I'm Kim Ritberg, the host and executive producer. John Hollowitz is our editor, and Aliza Friedlander is our producer and publicist.